Here we go. It's the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 129 of the podcast. As always, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for your time today. 41 years as a Las Vegas bookmaker, Jimmy Vaccaro, who you can find at the South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, he's going to join us in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk NFL power rankings, college football power rankings. We're going to get a breakdown of the Triple G Canelo action that they saw over the weekend. We'll get an action report for Thursday night's NFL game between the Cleveland Browns and New York Jets. Cleveland currently a 3-point favorite. And a few more questions along the way to get you set up with your handicapping for this weekend and beyond. But we begin with the mother of all trends. For those of you who have been riding with this podcast from the beginning, you will remember this trend from episode one. It goes a little something like this. And the reason we're bringing it up today is because this trend will be in effect next week, week four of the NFL, Thursday night when the Vikings visit the Los Angeles Rams. Play against road teams on Thursday night off a Sunday game when traveling 1,500 or more miles across two time zones. Minnesota finds itself in that scenario come week four. They will play this Sunday at home against the Buffalo Bills. They will then travel across two time zones, 1,500 or more miles, to play the Los Angeles Rams in Los Angeles on Thursday night. The home team in that scenario is 12-1 straight up, 12-1 against the spread going all the way back to the early 90s. We saw this in effect last year when Kansas City went to Oakland on Thursday night. We also saw it the year before that when Oakland traveled to Kansas City. These aren't just home favorites that are winning. We have home dog situations that have played out as well. If you can go back to, I want to say 2011 or 2012, Seattle was a home dog against Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles. They won the game outright. Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos were a home dog of seven or more, if memory serves me correctly, against Rex Ryan's New York Jets and won that game outright. This scenario, the home team facing an opponent on Thursday night that is traveling 1,500 or more miles across two time zones, having played the Sunday before, home team 12-1 straight up, 12-1 against the spread. There is another scenario where this trend will come into play later in the season. We will revisit it then. But I wanted to give you the heads up because the look-ahead lines will likely surface Wednesday. But more importantly, this Sunday, the Rams are hosting the Chargers in a game that could give the Rams some fits. Conversely, as we just mentioned, the Vikings are going to host the Bills and should pound Buffalo into oblivion. And if that's the case, we could get a very nice line in the Rams' favor next Thursday night. So file it away. The mother of all trends, 12-1 straight up, 12-1 against the spread, points to the Los Angeles Rams on Thursday night in week four.
I feel so unsatisfied.
To Las Vegas we go. He has spent 41 years as a bookmaker in Sin City. You can check him out now at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Good friend of ours, Jimmy Vaccaro, joining us here on the Sharp 600. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time as always. How's life at the South Point?
You know, Joe, the older I get, I keep saying to myself, this can't get any crazier and bigger. But it does both. It gets crazier and bigger. Crazier in a good way, because it's just incredible from what I remember in the 70s to what I view now, and much appreciated. But I still enjoy it even after 40-some-odd years. Matter of fact, in January, I started my 44th year in Las Vegas. So I'm getting old, but getting old gracefully, my friend.
You've been tweeting about this. How have the first 2 weeks been at the South Point for NFL season? Now that PASPA has been rolled back, are you noticing more interest in sports betting?
Well, first of all, the PASPA thing will not hurt us for a long time, even if it ever does, for the main reason that there's still too many people on the West Coast who come, and people still make Las Vegas a destination, a place to come for a lot of different reasons. We had a big race over the weekend here, the NASCAR 400, which is sponsored by the South Point. We had a great fight. We had a lot of those good things. But still, all saying, Joe, last Sunday, Saturday and Sunday with college, and basically the first week in the NFL, we're not the biggest casino in the city. We wrote over $400,000 more than the previous Sunday with the first NFL game, you know, going back to last year. This year, even with the second week, I thought there would be some sort of tail off only because the first week everybody's juiced up and ready to go. It was just the same as last week. We were SRO. We obviously opened up sports book betting windows in our race book to take care of the overflow. So I have seen these things, Joe, and I keep saying, when does it end? But it really hasn't. So my hat's off to the people who enjoy it. Now, the only thing that I believe would ever hurt the sports books in Nevada would be if California would be the one to open up sports betting legally there. And then also, Joe, let's throw in why I still say that this is incredible to view. Is now we have five states taking bets, and from what I understand, all those five states were jam-packed with new people, old people, people who want to be a part of it, people who want to understand it. They're going to the window also. So everybody's creating new customers. So I say that it's just the beginning of a new generation, new era, and we'll see where it goes from here.
That is fantastic news. I know you mentioned the fight. How did Triple G Canelo do from a betting perspective?
We did pretty good on it. You know, there was an early rush way back when on the dog on this Canelo, and we opened the fight, I think, $1.60, got as low as $1.35. So way back a month ago, there was plenty of money on the underdog. Then a huge surge came the day of the fight, where we closed $1.90, and there was actually some places in the city and offshore we closed it over 2-1. So we actually ended up doing pretty good. As naturally, we won't get into the scoring or whatever. You know, we only pay on the final decision, but we did relatively well. But two big bursts. At the beginning was all Canelo. At the end, it was all Triple G.
How many weeks do you think it takes to properly evaluate an NFL football team? The reason I ask that is that we're all very excited about week one, and we come out with our mm-hmm. opinions and our wagers, and then it always feels like the public will overreact to some of that, and they'll bet accordingly in week two. But yet teams like Tampa or teams like Kansas City may continue to surprise people. So for you, how many games do you need to have a proper evaluation on a team?
Well, the pros are easy, Joe. It's really not a big deal. Go from week to week, and after even to the second week, you understand where you're at with the NFL. Now, naturally, you know, we had money on the Chiefs over the Steelers. That doesn't happen quite as often as people, you know, think it would. But in this case, we opened the game 5.5, got as low as 3.5, and closed the game 4 there. So there was money from the general public and the wise guys on the dog there. In Tampa Bay, even with Fitzpatrick there, obviously won two big games for us. Actually, the first week of the season when he upset the Saints was probably one of the bigger teaser games that we've won in quite a while. But we've adjusted real quick. The hard part is the college, because you're seeing so many different things coming at you the first 2 weeks. I would say this from an old-timer standpoint, by week three, we would be exactly where we think we should be with the college numbers. Pros is much easier. The college a little more different, only because, you know, with the college, you have new people coming in there. You have new coaching. You have new systems. You have new a lot of different things, which takes you a while. And I think the wise guys, if you want to call them that, they may take advantage maybe week one or two with the college. But after that, kid, you're on your own.
When it comes to the NFL, the new rules that are in place to protect the quarterback, have you and Chris taken that into account when setting either sides or totals? Has that had an effect on the numbers?
Yeah, totals. Make no mistake about it. There are no even need to talk about it. Everybody that watches these games sees that, you know, no matter where you're at, you have a chance to get the total over. It just takes one crazy play. It might be 3rd and 18 from the 40-yard line. Then it looks like here we go. It's an interference on the 2-yard line. They score immediately. Then the other team comes back and they score. So, yes, it has happened. I do know this, and I don't have my sheets in front of me, Joe, but going back, you know, maybe 8 or 10 years, I would say the normal total were at least 2.5, 3.5 points higher than they normally would be going back to another generation. And obviously because it's more wide open, obviously because of this rule with the interference, whatever, and protecting the quarterback, gives teams second and third chances when they're obviously, you know, near the red zone to begin with. So it has an effect. And for whatever we put the totals on some of these games, yes, 70% of the parlays that you would call the public has will be to the over. So we know padding those going into the weekend, only because even if some people bet the under, we're still going to need the under, only because we're just tattooed with parlays, especially on the Patriots, the Saints, and Steelers, those type of teams. So, yes, it's a new way of doing business. We adjust, too. 2 years ago, you might have a game might have figured to be 45. We opened at 46.5 because we know where the money's coming from the general public.
Speaking of overs, Kansas City has scored 80 points through their first two games of the season, and both of those have been road games. They're going to be home for their home opener against the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. How are people viewing the Chiefs? Because everybody loves scoring, and these guys are scoring in bunches.
Well, what can you say? I know that I have never seen nothing like what this kid has done the first couple of weeks, but I can tell you this. He's drawn a lot of attention early. It'll be the same thing. We'll get money on him. There's no doubt about it until he loses a game or has a bad game. It's just one of those things where you understand what the hell is going on there, but you adjust quickly. This kid, he's been good for us the first couple of weeks, so what can I tell you, kid?
The Raiders are going to be in Vegas in a couple years. Are you noticing any different type of action when it comes to booking Raider games? Are there more Raider fans now that they're going to be the new local team?
Yes, the Raiders, even though they're off to this horrendous 0-2 start, and even had a couple of boo birds in the sports book at the South Point on Sunday. But what we have seen with the Golden Knights was unprecedented. We had never seen an attack on a team like that coming to Las Vegas, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, just think about this. If the NFL, if the Raiders, when they come, and they won't be as bad as this as Gruden gets his feet on the ground here in a couple of years, it'll be five times more, in Jimmy's opinion, on what it's like on a weekend when the Golden Knights were in the playoffs as opposed to if the Raiders get there and become like a 10-6 team. It'll be insane. That's all I can tell you. Insane.
Who do you see as two or three of the best teams in the NFL right now? If you're evaluating the first 2 weeks of football, who do you power rank at the top?
Oh, boy, Kansas City Chiefs. And I would say that the Atlanta Falcons, I put them right there right now, but there's such a long way to go. The Steelers, of course, this is old news. Everybody who I associate with, everybody who I enjoy their opinion and respect their opinion, including me on this one, I said way back when, like a million other people who are in this racket, that the Steelers and the Patriots would take a step back. The Steelers are on a cliff right now. They don't know it. They better do something quick. So I would say the Patriots and the Steelers are the most disrespected team so far.
Are you seeing anything Thursday night, the Browns laying 3 against the Jets? Any action so far on that one?
Plenty. Can you believe this? The Browns are a 3-point favorite. Went to 3.5 this morning. I talked to Chris. It's insane. Just say that over and over again. Browns are a favorite. Browns are a favorite. It's hard to say it, but they surely are. We're up to 3.5, and they have drawn a lot of money so far. But I'm sure there'll be some buyback with the Jets, but right now it's just all Browns. So what can I tell you? What can I tell you, kid?
All right, in the college football racket, is there anybody even close to the level of Alabama? The way they've been playing this year, now that they've got an offense led by a top-flight quarterback, they are lighting up scoreboards.
Wow. I would say this. I would make the Alabama 7 points over the Buffalo Bills. What would you do with that, kid? it's incredible what these guys are doing. And, yes, they are so far ahead. Last week, we needed the dog for a relatively big bet, and we're sitting there, me and Chris are watching. It was 7-0 us immediately. Then we looked up, it was 49-7. So what can I tell you? The Saban, I don't know what he does or how he does it. He keeps getting these top-rung players. We understand to some degree it's Alabama and everybody wants to go there. But even if you get all the kids you want, still putting it together, they've cleaned our clock so far. I can tell you that.
Do you think there's going to be more money on them again this weekend? The public might play them, but that's a big number against Texas A&M.
Well, it doesn't matter who they're playing. They just walked up to the counter and says, "Give me Alabama." If the game was 6 or 60, it's on your ticket. They have no rational understanding what the point spread is. They just know it was 49-7 at halftime last week. That's all that they know. How can you? We make halftime the first half, 18-21-point favorites. That's insane. But they get there easily, so what can I tell you, kids?
Follow him on Twitter, at Jimmy Vaccaro. He has spent over 40 years as a Las Vegas bookmaker. He's one of the best guys in the business. Check him out at the South Point if you're ever in town. Jimmy Vaccaro here with us on the Sharp 600. Jimmy, I always appreciate the pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right, Joe. Speak to you soon, my friend.
He beat me. Straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
That'll do it for episode 129 of the podcast. Thank you for following along, for listening, and for all your support. It is greatly appreciated. We will be back later in the week with our college football preview, as well as our NFL preview to get you set for week 3. Special shout out to Jimmy Vaccaro for his time today. For now, everyone, be well and best of luck.